When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Blackhawks Live. Tonight on Blackhawks Live, a new season, different faces, and the drive to win.
Jones high slot, fires, pants it, rebound, score! Connor Bedard, Donato to Nazar over the blue line down the slot, he shoots, he scores! Frank Nazar on a breakaway!
Join Charlie Remiliotis as he dives into what's next for the Hawks. Here's Charlie.
Okay, guys, show us what you got.
Welcome into Blackhawks Live. Charlie Remiliotis here in our downtown studio at WGN Radio with my guy Jack Heinrich riding shotgun. Jack, what is going on, man?
I'm good. We're in a different studio, so I'm a little thrown off.
Different studio because the Bears are, they just kicked off on Monday Night Football, so I kind of actually like this studio. I like you get a different view outside at least, and I'm so I know I'm actually looking to you to my left now. Usually I'm looking to my right, so yeah. That's a little bit different.
Yeah, it's throwing me off.
Yeah, so we do have a fun show for you today. We're going to kind of recap a little bit of a up-and-down week for the Chicago Blackhawks. But more notably, we're going to have Rockford Ice Hogs play-by-play announcer Dana Gray join us around 7:35-ish. So stay tuned. We're going to get what's going on with the prospects down in Rockford. I'm excited to catch up with Dana and see how his first season is going down with the Ice Hawks. He's doing a really nice job down there. Let's talk about the Blackhawks, kind of recap a roller coaster of a week. Kind of started with the New York Islanders game, the second one of the three-game road trip on Thursday, where the Hawks played very well in the game in the first two periods. That even strength scoring chance differential in the entire game was 30-13 in favor of Chicago. But it was a stretch of giving up three goals in a span of 2 minutes and 17 seconds that derailed Chicago in that game. And then they followed it up 2 days later with a decent performance through two periods against New Jersey, and then allow three goals in a 2 minute and 6 second span, which looked very similar to the Islanders game. And so then the Hawks come home on Sunday, yesterday, and you're like, all right, how are they going to respond to this? And they score the first game or the first goal for the 13th time in the last 14 games and 20th game total, which leads all NHL teams. And then ended up taking a one-goal lead into the third period. The Islanders scored 47 seconds into the third, and Jack, it was kind of like a oh no, here we go kind of moment.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and it was like oh no, like this is going to be another third period unraveling. That would be three consecutive games where the Hawks lose in a similar fashion. But fortunately for Chicago, Connor Bedard scores the game-winning goal with 54 seconds left, and the Hawks leave that game with 2 points to kind of put a bow on the week that was for the Blackhawks. So just kind of summarize that road trip of giving up those three goals in 2 minutes and 17 seconds against the Islanders, and then 2 minutes and 6 seconds against the Devils, and then following that up with a big win against the Islanders at home.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been what the season's been, kind of like a lot of struggles in the third period, but they're playing a lot more aggressive under Anders Sorensen. And I mean, Tyler Bertuzzi's played a lot better. Now they have Frank Nazar in the mix, which he had a pretty crazy, I know we'll get to it, couple days just back going out east, coming back home playing. The big thing is Bedard's playing better, and that's what you want to see. Hopefully they can score more than one or two goals, which is what they did yesterday. So you need the offense to get going, and I thought Arvid Soderblom played pretty well in a bounce back after a tough one in, what was it, Thursday against the same team. So he played a little better on Sunday, so he's able to at least get the win, even if he didn't play his best, because his record is not indicative of how well he's played.
For sure. You mentioned it. Connor Bedard, it feels like his swagger is back. It came in that Islanders game, it felt like, just watching the goal that he scored on the power play against the Islanders, and then the celebration that led to right after, where he's looking at the crowd and he's got both of his hands up, like, how do you like me now kind of moment. And, you know, I think back to when he was on that big goal drought where he went 12 games without scoring, and then snapped it against the Dallas Stars in that big 6-3 win at the United Center, or 6-2 win at the United Center on November 27th, which was right before Thanksgiving. And he just stared at the heavens like, thank you, Lord, the monkey is off my back. And so now you see Bedard, he ended up finishing with 3 points in that game against the Islanders. But now you see him dipsy-doodling defenders again. You see him, the zone entries are terrific, the way he's doing it. I don't know what the numbers are, and I should probably dig into it, but the zone entries that he's had over the last several games, he's just flying through the neutral zone. And so, for sure, to see Connor have his confidence back and it continues to grow, and then, oh, by the way, scoring the game-winning goal yesterday with 54 seconds left, where it wasn't even, you know, it was a shot that kind of Ilya Sorokin probably wishes he would have had, and it hits the knob of his stick and then trickles back into the net. It's like, oh, now Connor's going to start to get the bounces. Like, this is, he might go on a real run here of stringing together some point streaks or multi-goal or multi-point efforts.
Yeah, and that's what you're looking for. I mean, he's getting the production, and yesterday in the locker room, he was there like, what'd you see on the goal? He's like, well, I got the puck and I shot it right in his chest and somehow it went in. So, I mean, he's due for some luck, right? I mean, they had that big drought, and now he's starting to produce. But that, you're right. You're seeing his, I don't know what you call it, like him fighting through like the neutral zone and his entries. He's trying to like make those big, like kind of you hear the crowd gasps, and he wasn't doing that when he's on that drought. So now he's kind of got the swagger back, and in the media, they asked if, like, how Anders has been with him. He's like, well, he's been really good with me, you know, like, he's been telling me, like, whatever. And then they asked Anders after, he's like, well, I didn't really tell him much. He's like, I kind of just let him do his thing. But it seems like that relationship's working, at least through the first week and a half or so, or 2 weeks, or whatever it's been.
Yeah, and there was a play, I think it was the New Jersey game, where Bedard got the puck on the left side of the ice in the offensive zone, and then he turned around and ended up passing the puck backwards. And that was one of the moments that the TV cameras picked up. Sorensen going to Bedard after that shift, kind of had his arm around him, whispering something or telling him something that maybe he didn't maybe shoot the puck or whatever it was on that shift. So you can see that the relationship between them is starting to grow. You mentioned Teravainen, much needed offensive breakout against the Islanders. 3 points picked up. He scored a goal on the power play, 2 primary assists. Jack, it sounded like Teravainen was trending towards being a healthy scratch on Sunday against the Islanders. Like, I had heard he had been notified the night before after New Jersey game that he was likely going to sit. And then Nick Foligno ended up not playing yesterday because of an illness. And so not only does Teravainen stay in the lineup, but Sorensen said, okay, you were playing on the fourth line. I'm going to put you on the third line in Foligno's role with Dickinson. And it ended up working out to his benefit. So I don't know what clicked for Teravainen. Maybe it was just the threat that he was potentially going to sit, and it kind of just revitalized him. But those 3 points, like his 2 assists, they weren't like secondary assists where he just got lucky and, you know, made a pass in the neutral zone, then kind of whatever. I mean, this was him driving those, all 3 of those goals, the first 2 setting them up, and then the third one, him ended up scoring it off a beautiful pass by Connor Bedard. But for Teravainen to get off the schneid in the points department, that was his first multi-point game since the home opener, which is 2 months ago. Wow. And so that was much needed for him to start feeling himself a little bit more, but also the Blackhawks' sake, they need him to get going so the 5-on-5 scoring can trickle into the team's overall game.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was just the, hey, we're going to sit you, and then all of a sudden you're back in. So I think that hopefully that's the wake-up call he needed, because he was very hot at the beginning of the year, and then he's kind of gone away, and now you see what he can do. I mean, that power play goal, I mean, Bedard just set him up, and he just let it fly, and he was able to get it in. So, and he set up, had a couple other setups, and he's the first star of the game. So it's kind of, I guess that's kind of how it works sometimes. But they signed him here for offensive production, that trying to find more goals and offense, and hopefully he can keep going, because they're going to need it to be competitive in these games.
Yeah, and Teravainen is one of those players that he's very quiet naturally. I think he's very introverted, and that's kind of his personality. And so when someone like him is maybe dealing with a little bit of confidence issues, or you're just battling some confidence, you never really know how tough it has gotten versus if a guy like, you know, is extremely extroverted and you start to see like, okay, he's not talking as much or he's a little quiet, then you know, oh, his confidence is down. We have to make sure to kind of get it up. But for a quiet guy like Teravainen, you never know if it's like quiet, he's got this quiet confidence in him, or if he's like, hey, I'm actually not feeling as confident. And he had those quotes a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a month ago at this point, but how his confidence was starting to wane a little bit because that his performance wasn't up to the level that he expects himself to be. And the team's overall performance was taking a hit as well. And so it was great to see him break through. And hopefully, you know, he also impacts the game in different ways too. Like, he's a guy that plays on the penalty kill, and that's a role that Chicago has known him to play, because when he was on the 2015 Stanley Cup team, he was in the third line role playing on the penalty kill. And so the good news is he still can find different ways to impact the game, but the Hawks, I'm sure, signed him to be a guy to help Connor Bedard and to play with Connor Bedard and to kind of elevate his offensive ceiling. And so hopefully that spills over into the coming weeks and then kind of blows up into a bigger impact offensively for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, when they got him back, right, they're saying he's just more mature, and hopefully he's developed that offensive game in Carolina. So, and he was big on the penalty kill yesterday. I mean, they killed off some big penalties yesterday, and that was a big reason why they're able to win too, especially in that third period. They had to kill off, I think, what, two?
Yeah.
I was walking up and down the stairs, so I don't remember all the way, but yeah, so they were able to kill off two. I mean, the penalty kill's been awesome, and he's been a part of that, so he's affecting it at least in that way as well too.
You mentioned Frank Nazar. He was officially called up by the Blackhawks before the New Jersey game, so he got a practice in on that Friday. You mentioned it. He was playing for Rockford, I think, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
They traveled back to Rockford, and then he gets the call from Rockford Ice Hogs general manager Mark Bernard the night before saying, you got to be at the airport first thing in the morning. And so I'm sure it was a chaotic stretch for him where he travels to New Jersey. He gets slotted into the second line role with Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi, and we talked about it on the last one. That was our Hawks Click poll about whether it's time to bring up Frank Nazar. You said yes. I said no. The no for me was a soft no, and it wasn't a no because I didn't think he's ready. It was more so like, hey, just make sure that he's 100% ready to be here, because you don't want to get into a situation where you call him up just a tad too soon, and then maybe he hits a little bit of a lull, and then you're like, should we send it back down? Should we keep him here? And so it was one of those things where it's like, he earned every bit of this call up. And it's for me too, I was thinking about all the puck touches that he's been getting down in Rockford, where he's playing on the first line, playing in all situations and on the first power play. And you just didn't want to him to get called up, play in the NHL with the Blackhawks, and then he's just not getting those puck touches that he was getting, and then maybe it can start to filter into into his psyche. But I mean, he has earned every bit of the call up, and so the Hawks are, like, I've heard the Hawks say, the Hawks management, we've heard them say for a while, we want the players to tell us when they're ready by their play. And so Frank Nazar, I think the original timeline for the Blackhawks was to call him up at some point in the second half in the season, but he was playing so well with the Ice Hogs, but he ended up his last three games with Rockford, he didn't record a point, but he was still impacting the game in different ways. Like, there were shifts that kept getting tweeted out, and it was like, wow, he's flashing, he's doing between the legs passes or between the legs shots on the penalty kill or whatever. It's like, this guy's got confidence. And before that three game point drought, he was tied for second in the entire AHL in scoring with 28 point or 21 points, whatever it was. And so he's been awesome down in Rockford. Great to see him here with the Blackhawks and immediately sliding into that second line role. And so we'll see how he fares in that role, because I think the Hawks desperately want someone to take control of it.
Yeah, that's been the big question, is they think he might be it, but they've been rotating guys all year, so hopefully he can slot in. And then with two veterans like Taylor Hall and Bertuzzi, they were brought in to help with offense, so he can hopefully find some chemistry with them as well. Yeah, he didn't do much in these first two games, but I mean, he got just thrown right into it. And Connor Bedard was talking about it yesterday. They had a little power play time yesterday, and he's just like, yeah, he's a good player. We'll figure it out, you know, yeah, this type of thing. So it's nice that they get a day off today, hopefully he can just reset, and then they got two games at home, and I guess it's kind of home. He's Rockford, a little farther east than Rockford, but and his coach, Anders Sorensen's up here now, so he knows him pretty well, so at least he has that comfort level coming up, and hopefully Anders can keep developing him. He was playing so well under him down in Rockford, and now he's up in the NHL with them.
Yeah, exactly. He has that built-in rapport with Sorensen, and there's kind of like an immediate comfortability factor with Nazar when he gets called up. But I think he brings a different element where Ryan Donato was in that second line center spot with Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi before this Nazar call up. And so now you bring up Nazar and it's like, okay, he's going to play a speed type game. He's a playmaker. He's been shooting a little bit more down in Rockford. And so he can kind of play a speed type game with Taylor Hall. And Tyler Bertuzzi can be the guy that goes to the dirty areas, the front of the net, and kind of be that pest on that line. And so I think the three of them will balance each other out. The problem is they haven't had any time together, and so it's going to take a few games to kind of get that chemistry. Frank Nazar ended up finishing with one shot on goal against New Jersey and logged 14:01 of ice time. And then yesterday in the game, he logged just 12:44 of ice time and had one shot on goal, but he was a plus one. So I think over time, you'll see his ice time start to increase. But I think it was kind of like, hey, let's kind of ease him into this and let him get a little acclimated to the line mates, but also just the possibility of just being here for the rest of the season if it plays out that way.
Yeah, definitely. And his shot yesterday, I mean, he had a really good chance, and I think it was in the first period. He was like right in front of the net and just couldn't get it to go. So,
oh yeah,
he's playing.
He almost scored.
Yeah. Because I remember John was like, "Oh, you know, yeah, Nazar with it right there." So, he had that good chance, and then not much the rest of the game. But I mean, it's just his first couple games. Hopefully, he just keeps learning and growing, and the Hawks can keep putting up 4 or 5 goals, because that'd be something different than what we've seen.
Exactly. All right, we got more to get to here on Blackhawks Live. Dana Gray, Rockford IceHogs play-by-play announcer, is going to join us on the other side of the break. But first, we also have a Hawks click poll on WGNRadio.com. Jack and I both had retweeted it on our Twitter pages. Who will be the first Blackhawks player to hit 20 goals this season? Ryan Donato, Tyler Bertuzzi, Connor Bedard, Teuvo Teravainen, Taylor Hall, or Nick Foligno. Head over to our website to vote on the poll, and we will share the results later in the show. Welcome back to Blackhawks Live. Charlie Romeliotis here with Jack Heinrich for a Monday night edition while the Bears game is going on. I know it's not going well for them, so let's continue to talk about the Blackhawks. But we do have a special guest joining us from the Rockford IceHogs play-by-play announcer Dana Gray, who's the team bus to Des Moines, Iowa today for their matchup tomorrow. Dana, did you make it okay, and how are we doing today?
We made it okay. Good to talk with you guys. Yeah, it was a pretty scenic route. We stopped at the heralded I-80, largest truck stop in North America, and loaded up. So we're doing great here in Des Moines before the game tomorrow.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us, carving out some time for us tonight. First off, I want to ask how you're settling into the new role. It was kind of a chaotic first day for you when I remember the home opener. I met you like on the fly. It was, hey, you're doing the third period with John Weideman, and then you show up to the radio booth. I was like, hey, I'm Charlie. You're like, I'm Dana, and then we're talking about the Blackhawks on your first day. That was fun.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I was driving into Rockford, and my boss called me, and I started freaking out. I thought, shoot, am I like late? I thought I told him I'm not getting there until 5, and he asked me if I'd gotten to Chicago yet, and I said no, and he said, well, if you could stop over and help out with the game tonight, that would be awesome. So yeah, I followed up a couple guys in Savard and Chelios, which was just hilarious, but great to meet all of you guys, and that was a pretty good indoctrination to the organization as well, and it's only kind of continued with the relationship between the Hogs and the Hawks as far as obviously the ownership, but just the communication from top down. It's pretty cool to see. That's not, I don't think, a given between every NHL and AHL team. So I feel pretty special to be a part of it.
Well, we're thrilled to have you on the broadcast team. I've been listening to some of your calls, and I mean, you've just been crushing it down for Rockford.
Oh, thanks. weeks, man.
How are you settling into their new role? Because just judging from how you sound, it feels like you did not skip a beat.
Well, that's very, very, very nice to say. And I think it's been really great people that I got to come in day one with my pants on fire and coaching staff, which, yes, has changed a little bit. And I'm sure we'll talk about that. But from, you know, down to players and training staff and the front office, everyone was just so welcoming and understanding that, you know, I might not be delivering my opening night broadcast that I would have loved to if I'd had 3 months of summer to ramp up for it. But I do feel pretty comfortable now. We've been to every rink that we're going to go to. And, you know, we're just coming off a 3-4 week kind of travel gauntlet here. We played in 8 straight rinks in 8 straight games. So I think after that, I kind of know that it's all downhill from here, and I'm having a blast. I mean, it's just, you know, you're getting paid to hang out and watch hockey and hang out with these guys and tell their stories. So I feel pretty lucky.
I love it. You and me both. Crazy last few weeks. You mentioned it with all the changes going on. Anders Sorensen being the Rockford IceHogs head coach, now being the Blackhawks interim head coach. You have Mark Eaton stepping into the Rockford interim coaching job. And then it feels like half of the IceHogs roster is now with the Blackhawks right now with Kmeso and Nazar and Korchinski. What's the last couple weeks been like in Rockford land as they feel the trickle-down effects from the Blackhawks?
I think the first word that comes to my mind is just really exciting. I think this is what everyone kind of hopes for in Rockford, and I've gotten a taste of it just from the get-go with this organization that, yes, of course, you want to win. You want to have as much success, but at the end of the day, you know, the goal here at this level is to try and get folks up comfortable and having success at the United Center and with the Hawks, and obviously that goes for coaches too and the entire staff. That was, I was really, really happy for Anders getting that call and to know that Mark is coming in as such a, I think it's not so much of a typical changeover where, you know, maybe a new head coach has to really get to know a lot of his players. In the role that he was with the Hawks, he knows 90% of this IceHogs roster really, really well as far as a developmental level, and it's really kind of fit in seamlessly. I know that, you know, it's been nice for him to string together a couple wins over the last week. I also really appreciated with Mark coming in that he was honest with everybody, the staff, that, you know, this is his first time coaching and he's going to have an adjustment period and he wants to learn and he's excited about that. And I really just appreciated that honesty right off the jump that he's got things that he's going to have to learn on the fly. And I think everyone really, really respected that and obviously knows what a great guy that he is and excited for him to get this opportunity too. Yeah. And then as far as the personnel, it's great. We're all, you know, getting ready for a game at 7 PM and watching Frank and Kevin and Louie and Drew playing, you know, out in Jersey and at home against the Islanders. That's so cool to be around. And you're so happy for guys that are getting these chances and also making good on them too. I thought all of them have played pretty darn well.
It's got to be awesome for the guys like you mentioned, Korchinski and Nazar and Crevier and even Kaiser. He was with Sorensen last year, where Sorensen steps into this Blackhawks interim coach role, and it's like, oh, there's like that built-in rapport already, where that's the guy that knows us the best because we were playing for him in Rockford. So it's almost like the transition is fairly seamless with the young guys, and there's like this instant comfortability factor when Sorensen comes to the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I think it was really cool hearing. I know there were a couple great quotes from Lucas talking about just how much he appreciated what Anders has done for his career. And I think there's a lot of guys throughout this organization and still here in the AHL that guys just really love playing for him. And obviously it's great for the people that get to continue doing that with the Blackhawks. He's such a smart guy, and while, of course, he has his systems, he's really encouraging, as I'm sure you guys can already, you know, tell. He's really encouraging of guys playing their games individually in a lot of ways. He really wants that free-flowing offense. He wants, you know, 4 or 5 people up in the rush at times. And I think that's really refreshing, and especially with the type of talent, especially on the forward end, that this organization has, I think that only leads to, you know, more success. And I certainly haven't noticed a difference down here in the AHL since, you know, Mark Eaton took over as far as the offensively minded style that this team wants to play. But I think it's just a guy that, you know, he has the respect of the players, and certainly folks enjoy playing for him, knowing that they're going to get their chance to play their own games.
So I got to ask, you've had a front row seat to the Frank Nazar show down in Rockford for the first couple months of the season. I don't think it's any surprise that he got called up because, I mean, he had been tearing it up down there, top five in the AHL in scoring, leading all rookies, all the stats that you already know. But you had tweeted out a clip of some of his best highlights. Not, first of all, I don't even know how you squeezed it all in 2.5 minutes, because it feels like that that highlight reel probably could have gone 5, 6, 7 minutes. But what have you seen from Nazar in Rockford, and that he has been deserving of this call-up?
Yeah, I promise you, there were some assists and goals that didn't make that. There were plenty to choose from. I was just so impressed from, especially how he's handled the past 2-3 weeks, when I know that a lot of the noise on social media and, you know, throughout the fan base is, you know, talking a lot about whether or not he's going to get the call up. And just from day one and since meeting him, the kid just wants to win, and he puts his head down and he works. And I think there's a lot of prospects that could have every reason to, you know, have one foot in, one foot out, and be thinking about that call up or wondering when it's going to come. And that never showed on Frank's face and, you know, in Frank's game. He was just dominant. I think the thing that surprised me the most early on, and then I guess I got a little bit used to, is he's so darn strong on the puck. I don't think I realized that. He's not, you know, an incredibly formidable figure as far as, you know, height and weight, but his puck skills down low, and how sneaky he can be. He's really difficult to knock off the puck. And, you know, when you get that in good offensive rotations with a player like that skill together, obviously that's pretty lethal. The shot is there. The hockey IQ is there. You know, he and Colton Dock together was really, really fun to watch on a line. They were together for about 5 or 6 weeks. They built together some really, really great chemistry, and I hope that at some point, you know, whether that's this season or next or down the road, those two get to link up together, because that was really fun to watch. And just happy for Frank, even at the faceoff dot too. I thought that was an area that he really improved as this young season came along, and proving himself that he can be a top line, second line center in the NHL and have a pretty great career of it too.
I love talking to Frank Nazar too in the media. And one of the many things that impresses me about him is his ability to compartmentalize the here and now. Like, one of the first questions he was asked when he got called up was, well, you must have felt this coming because all the outside noise or whatever. He's like, oh, I had no idea. Like, he almost was like, yeah. He didn't even know that people were talking about him as a possibility to get called up soon. And so his ability to kind of block out that outside noise feels very rare in today's day and age, but he seems like he's pretty good at it.
Yeah, and I think he's a true competitor. I remember a time we were, you know, the team I think was in a little bit of a slide, and the month of November wasn't their best, even though there were some really good individual performances, and including Frank's. I mean, he got on the score sheet in every single home game that he played with the Hawks. He just brought it every night. But I remember I interviewed him before a Sunday against Chicago. I think we'd lost 3 straight, and I asked him just the most semi-personal question, just to see if he'd touch on his own game. He's such a team-first guy. And he just looked at me and he said, I'm sick of losing. Like, I want to win. And I think that can get lost on. And obviously, at the AHL, the primary focus is making sure that your stock, your big draft picks are developing and getting to that level that they need to make the jump. And maybe that comes in front of a record and win sometimes. And that's okay. I totally understand that and how it works, but I just so appreciated his desire to want to win, and it seemed like he didn't really care what level he was at. He just wanted to be on a competitive team, and he really drove a lot of that fight to get Rockford into a good stretch going into December, too. They've been a much better team.
One of the other players Chicago is keeping a close eye on is number 2 overall pick, Artem Lefshinov. He had 9 shots on goal yesterday, is that correct?
Jeez. We were at the truck stop today, and I was filling in the notes for tomorrow, and I went up to him and I was like, did you realize you had 9 shots last night? he was like, oh my God, wow. I mean, Milwaukee almost had, they barely eclipsed nine themselves in that shootout win. So yeah, he's done a lot better job, I would say, over the last month, and he's been working along his mobility along the blue line and making sure that shots get through. I'd say that ever since he came to Rockford, he's always had a shot first mentality. I think what's changed a little bit over his development in the short time with the IceHogs is he's moving even just the extra half second, holding a puck, waiting for that shooting lane to open up. And it's been noticeable. I mean, the first goal of the game yesterday, it's just the first shift. He has the puck at the blue line and he delays really, really nicely and gets the shot through that Flagger bangs in for a rebound. And we're seeing more and more plays from him like that. And I think a lot of us, including myself, had to keep telling ourselves, you know, there's so much excitement, obviously, the number two pick overall. It's just his third year in North America. He's 19 years old, and the development is going to continue flowing. And there is certainly a work in progress with him. But, man, some of the skills, a lot of the IQ as well, is really there. And it makes sense to me, obviously, why Chicago decided to take him so high, because there's just a lot of talent there, even though he's still, you know, coming into his own and getting used to the North American game still, I think, a little bit.
You bring up a great point that just being drafted with the number two overall pick, like there's just going to be those expectations immediately out of the gate. But going through the growing pains, like, are going to be normal as he makes that transition over to North America. And he is still young. And I kind of think about, like, even here, Connor Bedard, like when he was going through, everyone's talking about his sophomore slump. And it's almost like a reminder. It's like, he's still eligible to play in the World Juniors if he wanted to. Like, it's crazy. And so the same thing goes for Lefshinov, where I know there's this immense talent there in him, but it's not always going to be a linear progression. And so him maybe stumbling a little bit out of the gate. And also he had that injury that I'm sure was difficult for him to, you know, you start behind the eight ball. So it's nice to see him start to trend in the right direction now.
Yeah, the one thing that I could say overall with ultimate confidence is he's only gotten better every week. And you see that from power play, PK. PK, by the way, that's another thing that I'd love to, you know, touch on quickly with you. As far as the prospect pool and the development, this Rockford penalty kill, it's the number one in the American Hockey League. And they just, like, give up nothing. It's crazy. The habits that this group has, and a lot of that includes, you know, things that Frank was doing. Landon Slaggart, I think, is a fantastic penalty killer. Lefshinov, Phillips, of course, on the back end, those guys. Samuel Savoie, Gavin Hayes, a couple of other young guys that do really well on the penalty kill. And I just bring that up because I think this organization, and specifically down in Rockford, they instill really, really great habits. And I think you're hard-pressed to find an area of the game where that shows up more than the penalty kill, where it's so important, your positioning, your stick checks, when you're taking the time to go for a rush and pressure. So that's something that gives me a lot of confidence, just as a baseline, too. And Lefshinov's obviously eaten a ton of those penalty kill minutes, and he's been a really big part of that unit.
And Nazar's had a couple shorties, right?
Yeah. Oh, it was so fun watching him and Landon. I think they were just sick of playing each other, obviously, with the Michigan and Notre Dame thing. They were lethal as a penalty-killing duo. The amount of times that they would just read off of each other, pressure at the blue line. It's crazy. It was almost like every single penalty kill, they would lead in on a two-on-one or two-on-two rush. They just had the ultimate confidence. And I think that also speaks a lot, too, to Anders's philosophy. I remember asking him after a few weeks, I was like, do you just feel confident, you know, letting these two guys kind of make the judgment calls on when to take their rushes shorthanded? And he totally does, because they read the game so well, and obviously they're both uber fast and can get up in front of plays.
Last one for you. Give us a name that we haven't shouted out yet, that's having a quietly good season. Like, the one guy I was thinking about is Colton Dock, who's been in the system for a couple years now. And the Hawks have a lot of these prospects where they're fast, they're speedy, they're playmakers, maybe offensively minded. But for me, I'm like, man, that package has to be so appealing. Power forward type guy, can put the puck in the net. He's a shoot first mentality, too. Like, what have you seen from him? And is there anyone else you'd like to shout out that's having a quietly good season that we from afar haven't realized?
Yeah, quickly on Colton, I think he's just really, really grown into that power forward role and accepted it. There's so many times a game where he'll gain the red and just chip it into a corner, and you can tell that the defenseman, you know, is looking once, twice, three times over his shoulder, knowing that his Colton is coming in, because he's such a good skater, and obviously he's got the really good speed, but when you package that with the skill set too and the shot, it's something that you don't see a whole lot of, I guess, in the game. It's kind of swayed away, I'd say, over the last 3, 4, 5 years of that true power forward. So Colton, yes, has been great. I mean, he's second on the team in scoring, I guess technically first with Frank up in the Hawks. He's got 19 points. So Doc's been great. Another guy that every night I'm just so excited to watch is Samuel Savoie, and a really cool story too. He missed all of last year after suffering an injury, but before things got going with the Hawks. And he's like, when people ask me about him, I think the best comp I can put, this is high praise, and I'm from Boston, so I'll try and this is with no bias. He's got a good amount of that Brad Marchand in him. And I'll say current Brad Marchand, not yes. kind of this was younger and running around, but a guy with so much fight and jump. He hits everything that he can. He just makes beelines towards puck. And then also, as far as a skill guy, too, he's really, really good for, you know, the Chicago folks. I'd say I've heard the Andrew Shaw comps a little bit, too. I'd say he's an even better skater than Matt, with some really good hands. And he's just an absolute nut and goofball that will go after any sort of scrum. Yesterday, there was kind of a crazy sequence in the second period where a Milwaukee defenseman, after a delayed penalty, took a shot that, you know, it was well after the whistle. It wasn't even close to the net, but still, it's a no-go in the game. And Savoie skated probably 120 feet and jumped right after him. And, you know, absolutely the play to be made when someone crosses that line. But he's just a really, really fun spark plug to watch, and definitely a guy that I could see being a consistent, you know, third-line kind of player on a team and being an absolute spark plug.
Dana, thank you so much for doing this. I kept you longer than I said I would, so forgive me, but we appreciated the knowledge that you can shed on the Ice Hogs, and I hope to do it again down the road.
Would love to. Good to talk with you guys.
All right.
See you down the road.
That is Dana Gray, Rockford Ice Hogs play-by-play announcer. We got one more break, and then we're going to wrap up Blackhawks Live next on 720 WGN. Charlie Romeliotis here. We're running tight on time here, so we'll get to our Hawks Click poll. Who will be the first Blackhawks player to hit 20 goals this season? The popular answer was Connor Bedard at 46%. That was my vote as well. That's going to do it for this edition of Blackhawks Live. We'll catch you next week right here on 720 WGN.